I hope you are meeting your best buddies and you did something fun on Saturday. I feel like I'm kind of loud. Am I loud?
Yeah.
Can you turn me down a little bit? Because I'm going to get into it today, so I don't want to scare anybody. But some of us at a lot of the women from our church went to the IF gathering. If you're here, say hey. All right. They had an awesome time. But that meant for them to do that some of us papas, like myself, had to watch the three little ones. So I've repented from last night when I lost my patience quite a bit. But we hung out with our kiddos. What are some other stuff that you got? Anybody do yard work? Oh, no? Yeah, that's stupid. A little too soon. No, it's not stupid. You did some? That's awesome, Junior. You did what? Oh, that's awesome, man. You're awesome. Anybody else? What else did you guys do? High five. Don't leave them hanging. Cool. Well, who's ready for summer? I am so ready for summer. I love Colorado, but man, I'm just ready. It is awesome. So hey, so glad you're here. My name's Michael, by the way. Probably need to know that. I'm the lead pastor here at Cross Culture Church. Man, God is up to some amazing things, and it's just cool to be a part. And if it's your first time, welcome. Make sure you fill out that Connect card. We want to learn a little bit more about you. We won't call you at 1 a.m. Maybe we'll text you, but that's it. But yeah, welcome. We're in a series looking at the seven I am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. And it's going to take us all the way to Easter, and I'm excited, and we'll announce this next week. But we're going to do, with the community, a huge Easter egg hunt on March 31st. And that starts at 9:30. Make sure you mark your calendars. It's just a lot of fun. Even if your kiddos are older, you still got to come. There's going to be free brunch right across the street, and it's just going to be a good time. We're going to have lots of fun. And our mission as a church is to be a church of great neighbors. That's our goal. We want to be about the community, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But yeah, so like I said, we're in this series called I Am Jesus. And the whole idea, as Jesus comes on the scene in the Gospel of John, is Jesus is declaring something. He's claiming something. In fact, they call these the seven claims that Jesus makes. And he starts off with, I am. Everybody say, I am. Right? And what he's doing is, and in the Greek, it's a transliterated word from the Hebrew that is Elohim, which means one true God. So Jesus shows up and he says, I am. And that would have been enough, right? And the whole context is among Jewish people. And they're celebrating the Feast of the Tabernacles. And if you haven't read this story, read in the book of Exodus. They're celebrating when God shows up to Moses and says, I am the one true God. And he delivers millions of Israelites from the most powerful nation in the world. And they're celebrating this. And Jesus shows up during the celebration and he begins to identify God-like characteristics and fulfill prophecies of a Messiah. And he does, as Liz said the first week, if you hadn't had a chance to listen to that, go to our podcast, Cross Culture Church Podcast. That sermon is awesome. And Liz talks about how Jesus says, I am Elohim, the one true God, but I am the bread of life. And he's referring to the manna that God provided for the 2 million Israelites. But Jesus says something even more. He goes, I'm not just the bread of life that nourishes your physical body, but I am the source of everything, physical, spiritual, you name it, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in order to receive that, you have to believe in him, and everything else will follow. And then the second week, we looked at Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, the only light of the world. And he was referring to the pillar of fire that led the 2 million Israelites into the promised land. And Jesus says to us today and the people of that time, he says, I am the pillar of fire that will lead you into the eternal promised land, heaven. But he warns us. He says, don't miss it, because there'll come a time when you'll be looking for the light. And if you miss it, you won't find it, which is really, really scary. And then last week, Jesus begins to fulfill some more prophecies as he talks about this idea of being a shepherd. Okay, and he starts off in this conversation, and we'll look at the context here shortly. He says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the attendant. And for Jesus, it's one thing to be the shepherd, to be the leader of his sheep. But we're too important. So he goes even farther, and he goes into the pen, and he attends the sheep. He gets in their mess and finds out what their pains and hurts are, and he cares for them, and then he leads them to better pastures. And we're about halfway through, and this week, Jesus announces, it's one of the most beautiful pictures of what Jesus does. And if you didn't get a chance, last week we read Ezekiel 34. Write that down. Write down Ezekiel 34 and read that today, because that's a prophecy of what the true shepherd will look like. Jesus says, today we'll look at, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. See, a lot of times we kind of don't give enough credit to the people of that time. The truth is this is history. Yes, the Holy Spirit inspired John to write this to a specific audience in Ephesus, but this is history. These are actual human beings. Isn't that crazy? Right? So a couple months ago, my son Mason saw his teacher in Walmart, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you out of the classroom? Like, you leave the classroom, and why are you wearing normal clothes? That's weird, you know? Like, these are human beings. And we also forget something else, that during this time that Jesus is fulfilling these messianic prophecies and announcing that he is God, that there were hundreds and hundreds of other messiahs that came before him. Right? And these messiahs would come on the scene, and people would get excited, and they would follow these messiahs, but then these messiahs would die, and they wouldn't raise from the dead, and they became very disappointed. And it kind of came to the point where they're like, okay, I get it. It's kind of like if you had a friend that said, hey, I want to invite you to this amazing, amazing music concert, but then he takes you to a middle school talent show. And we all know what middle school talent shows represent. That parents are liars, that they lie to their children about their talents. Confess your sins right now. I'm just kidding. But what was I talking? Oh, yeah. So anyhow, but these people are kind of disappointed. The religious leaders are fed up. But something's different about Jesus. Something is way different. He begins to speak a language that ticks them off. Right, these other messiahs, they're jokes. They're not a threat to us, but the religious people of that time, the shepherds, right, these leaders begin to get really upset, because here's a man that's not only a messiah, but he says that he's God. He says that he's God, and then he goes on, as we look at I Am the Good Shepherd in chapter 9, he goes on, and this is probably not the best conflict resolution, but after ticking these guys off of breaking all of their laws, he calls them thieves and robbers. He calls them bad leaders. He calls them bad leaders, and we see in chapter 9 that Jesus does something that will set them off. And it sounds absolutely insane. Jesus comes upon this blind man who's been blind from birth. And on the Sabbath, he heals him. He heals him. In fact, he spits in mud and rubs it in his eyes, and the man is healed, and this man begins to testify to Jesus. But it ticks off these thieves, these robbers, these false leaders. It makes them so upset. Why? Because he did it on the Sabbath. And by Jesus doing it on the Sabbath, which are man-made laws and oral traditions, he's saying, I'm God. I'm Elohim. The rules don't apply to me. I'm not man. Your rules, your silly traditions, right? Those don't apply to God. And that would have infuriated them. In fact, they tried to kill him a couple times at this point, but they can't do it because it's not the time, right? And today, as we look at Jesus declaring, I am the good shepherd, there's a couple things that we need to understand. That Jesus is saying what it means to be a good leader. And we're going to look at five ways that a good shepherd leads, and it can help us, because a lot of you might be thinking, hey, I'm not a pastor, you know, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. You lead yourself every day. You lead your spouse. You lead in your marriage. You lead in your friendships. You're leading your relationships. You lead your children. You lead your neighborhoods. You lead your communities, amen? You lead in your workplaces. Today, we're going to learn from Jesus declaring that I am, and ticking off these shepherds, what it means to be a true leader. So let's go ahead and pray as we get started. Go ahead and bow your heads. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to share your word. Thank you, God, that you are the good shepherd. Lord, that you came to this earth to lead us and to love us. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts today for what you have. Lord, I pray that your spirit will fill us up and speak to us through John, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the context, right? Jesus has just healed this blind man on the Sabbath. He's really infuriated these shepherds and these leaders of Israel, and then he calls them thieves and robbers. So there's tension going on right here. So let's go and open up our Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 11. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles for you in the back. Take one of those. That's our gift to you. The Word of God is so important. As a church, we're committed to simply do what Jesus did and do what he says, and that's all that you need in life. And also, there's this really crazy thing called a Bible app. You can download it. I know it's not, you know, goat's papyrus or anything like that, and that joke will get old. It already is old. You're not laughing. But you can download the app. It's great. They have devotions, and I've already upset somebody. They're leaving about the Bible joke, but sorry, just kidding. But yeah, let's go ahead and start in chapter 11. And instead of reading the whole passage like we usually do, we're just going to break it down in the passages that just to understand a little better. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Are you with me? Yeah. All right. Verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. See, there's a lot here, so get your notes out. This is going to be fun, but here's what happens. Jesus starts in the midst of this tension. He says, I am the good shepherd, and there's two Greek words that's used for good in the New Testament. One of them is agathos, right? And the other one is kalos, okay? And here it's kalos, but the difference is agathos is describing somebody that does beautiful things. They're doing, hey, that person is doing beautiful things, but then kalos describes somebody that is already beautiful and known for doing good things. Kalos is an amazing word. Here and the reason that it's better than agathos and better than any concept of good is because if you're kalos, then you're useful. And what makes you useful in this context is you're compassionate. You have a heart for those people that you're leading. Right? That's what kind of separates Jesus from the other people. And he says, I am the good shepherd. It's kind of like having a good doctor. Right, we all know that there's those good doctors, and it's not because they diagnose us, right, which we hope for, right? And it's not because they're smart. It's because they're compassionate. Mindy and I used to have this doctor off of Arapahoe. Her name was Dr. Jennifer Arnold, and she was in her 70s, but she was a good doctor. In fact, we would go, and in these appointments, I mean, we would be there for an hour and a half, right? Because she knew that there was so much more than our physical sickness, right? That there's more going on, and she would listen to us. In fact, she used to call me kiddo. She viewed her patients as her children. And you knew that if you had a 10 o'clock appointment, you weren't getting into 11:30. But she was a good doctor, and she was booked and packed. And that's the whole idea. Jesus says, I am kalos, shepherd. I am a good shepherd who cares and is empathetic. And Jesus, in the midst of these thieves and robbers who, they're self-gaining, they're self-promoting, they're all about self-interest, Jesus says, I am kalos. I am a caring and compassionate shepherd. So five ways that a good shepherd leads, five ways that we should lead. Number one is this. Five ways a good shepherd leads is that he cares. He cares. They have a heart for those they serve. They're compassionate. They're compassionate. And one of the things that you can tell in terms of what's different between a kalos, a good leader, and not a good leader, is that they tell the truth. They understand what's going on, and they're not afraid to speak truth because they care. Those leaders that tickle ears, and I've been tempted to do that and have done that in my life, they're more concerned about themselves. But when you share truth with somebody, When you tell the sheep that there's something wrong and you correct them and you bandage them up and you address their pains, you're a good shepherd. And then Jesus goes on to talk about the opposite of this. He says there's this hired hand, right? And hired hands in those days were either people that were indebted to a shepherd. So the shepherds along the road would come across these people that owed a debt to somebody and they would pay it and make these hired hands come work for them. And sometimes a hired hand was just somebody that you hired. And Jesus addresses these hired hands that they only care about the money. When there's a better offer, they leave. When things get messy, they leave. When the money runs out, they leave. They move on. And this reminded me one time, I'm going to talk about Carino's again. If you missed it, it was amazing. But spicy shrimp and chicken, anyone? No? Baked tortellini? It's out of business. It doesn't exist anymore. But I served there. And I was a manager in training. And one night I was closing, and there's this other manager there. I won't mention his name. But you know, he was always looking for the next best thing. He would sit in the office all day and never come out and work. He was trying to do the least amount that he possibly could to get the farthest that he could. Anybody know somebody like that? Right? Okay, don't judge. Just kidding. And one night we're closing, and I was the closing server. The cooks had gone home. The manager was cooking, and it was about 9:58 on a Thursday night. We closed at 10, and the manager went up to the front, and he's like, "I'm going to close the doors early." And as he walked up to the front, these two men walk in the door. And they're like, "We have had a long day. Can you please just give us some yummy Italian food?" Somebody liked it, okay? Somebody thought it was good, unlike you people. But can you please, and the manager's like, "No, I got to go. Like, I want to, you know, I've got, to, you know, a movie to watch or whatever." And he looked at me because I was an MIT, and he's like, "Would you be willing to serve them?" And I didn't always get this right, right? But my parents always taught me, anytime you work somewhere, treat it like it's your own business. And one of the things I always knew is I would not turn away money. Amen? I wouldn't turn away the business. Okay, and I knew the labor was cheap because they paid me $4 an hour. And I was going to cook, and they said, we want to come in, we want to eat, and we want to drink. And I said, "That's fine, I'll take care of you." And these men sat down, and I took care of them the Carino way, and I made their drinks and cooked and did these different things. And as I dropped off the check, the guy was like, "Hey, great job, Michael." And I'm like, "Oh, it's a verbal tip. He's not going to give me any money, but that's okay." And then I walked back, and there was a note on there with a $200 tip. He said, "Thank you for exemplifying the Carino way." It was one of the owners. And he didn't know it, right? And that's the difference between a hired hand and not. I'm not trying to give myself props here, right? But that's the whole idea. And Jesus says, you hired hands. Like, you don't care. In fact, they had to create these laws in the first century for hired hands because what they would do is if they saw other beasts or animals, they would run. Right? If an animal got, a sheep got lost, they would let it go. These hired hands, these thieves, these robbers were poor leaders. And they created these laws that, and if you left the flock, you had to come back with a limb or a sheep carcass. Ew, that's gross, right? But they had to prove that they tried. And then they had to go back and show them that these beasts would come. And Jesus says, you don't want to be a hired hand. You can't. You got to be able to stick around and fight for the sheep and lay your life down. The sheep are too important, right? But these men, they would run. They would leave these sheep, right? And you know, it's really sad today that even in the church, the average stay of a pastor is about 18 months, right? And let's talk about just real life here, right? The divorce rate, and sometimes you need to get out of situations. That's okay. I'm not saying that, so please don't hear what I'm not saying, right? That's something Liz always says, right? But then let's talk about the fatherless generation. We're so quick to just leave. We go on to the next best thing when there's a better offer, right? And Jesus says, "No, you're missing the point." And then there's something that happens here. Then there's something that really confuses them, right? Jesus says, no, you don't just lay down your life and then die, right? You don't do that. Right? You need to go to a place where you're willing to die to protect the sheep, but you do it to live. Bonus point, write this down. Really important bonus point. A dead shepherd is a useless shepherd, right? No, and these shepherds, they, you know, the ones that owned it, the good ones, sometimes they would die. But the whole point was to sacrifice your life so they could live, so you could live. Because without a shepherd, they were left defenseless. Five ways a good shepherd leads. Number one, he cares. He has a heart for those that they serve. And then number two, they live. They live. They stick around. They fight and they stay through the mess for the sake of those they leave. They don't abandon. They stick around. They walk through the mess. And maybe you're like, hey, Michael, I have a hard time sometimes caring for different people. Maybe it's my spouse. Maybe I'm just done. Or maybe it's my children or my job or wherever I lead. And one of the best ways, and Jesus talks about it in a little bit, one of the best ways that we can begin to truly care and have a heart for people is to ask God to give us a heart. God, give me a heart for my children who have disappointed me so much. God, give me a heart for the people that I lead. Give me a heart for the kiddos that I serve each week. Give me a heart for my spouse. We're having troubles and I need your heart, God. So two ways, God, we care and then we stick around through the mess, right? It's one thing to die for your faith, but it's way more useful to live for it, amen? That's harder, but it makes a difference when you live for what you believe. And then we go on in verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. I can care for my sheep. I will fight for my sheep. I will live for my sheep. You want to know why? Because I know them. And my Father knows them. God knows the deepest and darkest places that we can hide. He knows it and he sticks around. In fact, the Greek word for know here is gnosko. Everybody say gnosko. Right? It's the same word that's used in the Hebrew when Adam knows Eve, right? You might think, ew, that's gross. But the truth is today in society, we have distorted intimacy. We have ruined it. It's ruined relationships. We made it all about the physical, but God created us heart, soul, mind, and strength. And mind is separated into the social aspect, into the intellectual aspect. There's so much more to this idea of intimacy, but we've ruined it. If you want to hear an awesome sermon on the five intimacies that God creates us for, come talk to me. There's a professor I have. It's amazing. But Jesus says, I can do these things because I know them, heart, soul, mind, and strength. I know every aspect of who they are. So important that we don't distort the idea of intimacy. Ultimately, Jesus says here, I know my sheep because they're my family. I am my brother's keeper. Number three, it says that up there of five ways to lead. A shepherd knows his sheep. They claim them as family. Whether it's your own family, your neighborhood, your coworkers, our friends, they know their sheep. And then Jesus goes on in the scripture. Can you put that scripture back up, Patty? Sorry, I should have put that up there. And he drops this huge bomb in verse 16. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. And that would have offended everybody in the room. It would have ticked off these thieves and robbers, these false leaders, even more. Because Jesus was saying, guess what? The Gentiles are my sheep too. What? That would have ticked them off because they get to choose who's in and out. The Jewish people, right? If you go near a Gentile or a Samaritan, you'll become unclean. That doesn't make sense. But Jesus says, no. Every nation and tongue is my sheep. And the false leaders would have been so upset to think that they would have been put in the same category as Gentiles. Number four, five ways a good shepherd leaves is that they unite. A good shepherd unites. She leads every generation and nation. Nobody gets to choose who's in or out. That's what the good shepherd does. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what sin you committed yesterday. It doesn't matter your age or your culture. Because of the love of Jesus Christ, because of what he did on the cross, everybody has an opportunity to get in. Amen? It's one of our values. You can see it on the sign. It's why we exist. We want to be a church that looks like heaven. Why? Because that's what the good shepherd says. Every nation and tongue, you can't write yourself off, and you can't write anybody else off. Amen? The shepherds are so selfish. They're all about themselves. They only are concerned about their comfort. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." A good shepherd cares, a good shepherd lives and fights and stays, a good shepherd knows in the most intimate way, and number four, the good shepherd unites, and finally, number five, the good shepherd surrenders. They lay down their rights when the rights of others become important. When their wife or husband needs it, they put aside their selfish needs in that moment. When their children are in pain and hurting, they put aside their selfish needs. And Jesus says, "I know my sheep. I know their hurts. I know everybody in this room. He knows your heart. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your struggle has been. He knows your pain." And he says, "I got that. I surrender my rights." Jesus wasn't forced to the cross. He chose to go to the cross. And that's what a good shepherd does. He surrenders his rights when the rights of others become more important. Jesus has all authority in heaven on earth. He could have done it a different way. He could have won a different way. He could have brought down thousands of angels and destroyed all of his enemies. He could have done that, but he didn't. Because he knew what it would take for us to have eternal life. He knew what it would take for us to be whole again. Somebody had to pay the price of our sin. Somebody had to pay the price that we made when we pushed God away and said we can live this life on our own. That's the whole idea of sin, is separation. Jesus says, no, it doesn't take force. It takes love. I surrender my life to you. Five ways that a good shepherd leads. Five ways that we can lead in our homes and in our works, in our neighborhoods and in our communities. Go ahead. If you didn't get these, let's put those up there. Patty, number one. A shepherd cares. Pray for God's heart for those people you're struggling with. Number two, a shepherd lives. They stick around through the mess. Barry Cameron is one of our supporting pastors in Dallas, and he always tells Mindy and I, stick around. Don't ever give up. Don't ever leave, no matter what happens. No matter how bad you mess up or somebody else does, stick around, because that's what a true leader does. Number three, they know. They know your pains, they know your hurts, and they comfort you. And number four, they unite. They involve everyone, they accept everyone. Nobody is out. And then number five, a good shepherd surrenders his life. And unfortunately, in the midst of the obvious, Jesus has declared it. He's fulfilled the messianic prophecies. He's given examples. He's even healed people. And yet they still have doubt. Let's go ahead and read. In verse 19, a division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He was a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" People will call Jesus insane. People will call us insane for following Jesus. In fact, only that people will call Jesus evil. It says it in Matthew when it talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and that is eternal damnation. That's losing or not even having a salvation, right? And what that means is to simply denounce the power and the might of Jesus Christ. When we do that, we are not his. And these people are calling him a demon, denouncing his power, and they're calling him insane and evil. And even the people that are kind of like, man, he healed somebody. They don't get it. They're missing it. And today, my friends, we can't miss it. We have a true shepherd. We have a good shepherd that says, I am here to lead you. You've tried everything else. The world, it's broken. It leads to pain, cancer, disease, and the worst disease of it all, sin. And you need to be cured, and I am here. I am the attendant, and I am also here to care for you. I know you. I give my life for you. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, if you never begin to follow the Good Shepherd, do it. Do it. That's the life he wants you to live. And it says that my sheep hear my voice in the verses before. And he talks about opening the door, the gate to green pastures. God wants you to live a life to the fullest. Amen. If you're here and you've never done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that here shortly. If you're here and you are following Jesus, but you haven't been leading like you should, it's time. It's time to start caring for your families. It's time to start caring for your coworkers, your neighborhoods, and your communities. That's who we are. We're a church of great neighbors. That's who we are called to be. It's time to do that. It's time to stick around. Don't go to the next best thing. Stay through the mess, right? It's time to begin to know one another. We are family, amen? We are here for each other. Number four, I completely forgot. Oh, it's time for us to be united. In a world that's divided, that divides social classes and ethnicities and race and cultures, Jesus says, no, together we are to be one, amen? Every nation and tongue, that is what heaven looks like. And then number five, if you lead, it's time to surrender your rights for somebody else. It's time to be uncomfortable, to stick around and do that. Bow your heads with me. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, it's time to do that. You have a good shepherd that has reached to you, that has gone into the pen and laid down his life for you so that you could live fully, you could live forever and begin to become his sheep. If that's you here today, I want to ask you to just raise your hand, boldly raise your hand if you want to surrender your life to Christ. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you're ready to start leading like the shepherd and it's time for you to start doing that, I want you to raise your hand right now. If you're in this room and you're ready to lead like the shepherd, everybody's hand in this room should be up if you're following Christ. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for being a good shepherd. You never ask us to do something that you haven't already done, God. Never. You go before us. You love so we can love. You sacrifice so we can sacrifice. You live so that we can live. Church, I just want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Dear Father, thank you for the Good Shepherd who lays his life down for me. I surrender to his leadership, to his lordship. He is my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we give you an opportunity to respond. We're gonna take communion and we're gonna remember that Jesus died on the cross for us because he loves us, right? Because he cares. We're gonna remember the body that was broken by taking the cracker. We're gonna remember his blood that was shed by drinking the cup. And then if you're here and you just need some prayer, we're gonna have prayer partners up here. It's so important that we understand that we're not meant to do this life alone. Come get prayer. There's something that happens. Miracles can happen when you get prayer. Amen? Amen. And what we do is we don't pass an offering around. We have boxes in the back for you to put your first fruits there. And if you gave your life to Christ today, I saw about three of you who raised your hand. We can clap for that. That's awesome. I'm gonna come find you guys. I wanna come talk to you because there's some resources and tools that you need, and just know that you're not alone. Amen? Amen. Let's lead like the Good Shepherd. All right, let's worship.